Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Arnold Palmer said, "The road to success is always under construction." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who is in the business of success construction. Today's Playmaker began with a 150-year-old plus company 16 years ago. With us today is a Texas president of a company that began in Ann Arbor, Michigan, as a lumber business building farmhouses and barns. This great playmaker is Ray Sadeh. Ray is president of the Texas region for McCarthy Building Companies. Now, Ray was appointed president of the Texas region of McCarthy Building Companies in September of 2015 and oversees all McCarthy activities in Texas. Most recently, Ray was McCarthy's executive vice president overseeing operations in Nevada, New Mexico, and Colorado prior to assuming his current role. Established in 1864, McCarthy Building Companies has a long history of building facilities that drive greater value. McCarthy is firmly committed to helping clients and partners achieve the short and long-term strategic goals of every project. Ray has managed $700 million in construction projects since he started with McCarthy and has positioned himself as a valuable resource to owners and project partners on large-scale construction projects in a variety of markets. Ray, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Question I want to ask you is about your move. So how did a Bachelor of Science in Construction Engineering from Montana State University move you south to Nevada, New Mexico, and Colorado, and then to Texas?
Sure. So when I went to school originally, I wanted to get a mechanical engineering degree. And ended up at Montana State, had a great experience through that program, but realized that I didn't want to be in the design sites. I really wanted to be in the construction side. So that program exists there. It's a construction engineering degree. And ended up getting that, and then you go through the formal process. At the end of that, you know, where are you going to go to work? And my dad was working for Bechtel at the time. He had worked for Bechtel for 35 years, and a lot of the people who go to work for them stay with them. There was a small company that came in that did some interviews, and that was McCarthy Building Companies. And that was in probably April of 2000.
Now, this was back in Montana.
Yes, sir.
Do they have an office there?
Nope.
They're just doing some work there.
They had actually never recruited from there before. So I got in with my interview, talked to this guy. He said, you know, have you ever been to Phoenix before? I said, no, I hadn't been to Phoenix. He says, well, do you want to go? I said, love to go. So I got down. I went over to my buddy's house, told him about the interview, and he said, I have an interview with them. He's like, I'm not sure I'm going to do it, though. I said, well, you should go. We might be able to go down to Phoenix together. His name is Chris Nickel. He's one of our business unit leaders in Phoenix now. And we were the first two people that were hired out of Montana State. So I started my career as an engineer in Phoenix. Did that for a couple of years and was given an opportunity to move to New Mexico to be a superintendent on a hospital project. After that, was asked to go out to Lake Tahoe for a little bit, do a project for Sammy Hagar, which was a lot of fun. And then we ended up moving back to Albuquerque to do some work at Sandia Resort. And then after that, got the opportunity to go ahead and move to Las Vegas to help really build that office from where we were. And spent the next 10 years, you know, going from not really having a lot of work to a ton of work. In fact, now we're partnered with Mortensen doing the new Raider Stadium out there. Kind of through that whole process, was able to take on some more roles, starting, you know, different offices, opened the Denver office in 2015. And then I got the opportunity to come out here to Texas and haven't looked back. It's been a phenomenal time out here. We've really done a lot of great things in the market. We're working for some phenomenal clients, really seeing some people grow. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, two things I read between the lines as I was listening to you is, A, you don't know anything better than McCarthy. Since this is the only professional business you've worked with for 16 years. And second, it's really too bad that you had to go to markets that you really didn't want to be in.
Sure, yeah. Living in Lake Tahoe in the wintertime, with the project site directly across from Heavenly Resort, was a horrible, horrible occasion.
You had some great locations to be in. Well, with all that, what do you do?
So I'm the regional president here in Texas, and you know what I get to do is help build our people, put them in the right positions to take opportunities that they may never have thought they could before, work with some great clients, help create the overall vision for the business and where we're going, and really just kind of help with that strategy and take us to some better places.
McCarthy has experienced a consistent increase in regional revenue. What are some of the reasons behind your success here in the Texas market?
Well, I think anybody in construction right now should feel very blessed if they're working in Texas.
Can't be any better place in the United States to be.
It's, you know, my wife was born and raised in a small town in Montana, and, you know, the second place she went was this metroplex in Montana called Bozeman with 35,000 people. So being out here in Texas, we weren't really sure how she was going to like it. We were here for about 18 months, and she said that this is her favorite place she's ever lived. So it's a great place for family, and it's a great place for business. If you look at all of the opportunities throughout the entire state in construction and in what we do a lot of healthcare, we do higher ed, do aviation, K through 12. We have an entire transportation business where we're in water, wastewater, marine, solar, industrial, heavy civil. So it's being really diversified, working with some really great clients has really helped us take advantage. And we have great people that are really focused on our clients and what we're trying to accomplish.
So it sounds like you have specials in a number of different segments of the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And you have professionals that know those areas. Is that correct?
That's correct. We looked at it from a number of ways. If we just focused on only doing one type of project, then you're going to be tied to the cyclical nature of our business. And if that particular market started to go down a little bit, then you're trying to figure out what to do with all of our employee owners. And so that's a real challenge for us. So how do you help in a construction industry that is typically very cyclical? How do you get so you can kind of deal with the ups and downs of the economy? So we really try to stay diversified and work with a lot of great people.
Now, Dallas is doing extremely well right now. You have the entire state of Texas. Is the rest of the state doing as well as Dallas, or are there some flat places as far as where you're working in Texas?
So our two biggest areas where we do work is in the DFW Metroplex and down in Houston. In both of those markets, they're doing very well. We have a good backlog. We're starting to do more and more work on the civil side in Austin. And then along the Port of Houston, we do a lot of work either with the Port of Houston or with LBC, Magellan, or ME Global. So we're really everywhere. We're working in some pretty unique place or on some pretty unique projects. We also have two fairly sizable remote projects that we're working on. We have a big hospital we're doing for Christus Spahn down in Corpus Christi. And then we're building a replacement hospital out in El Paso for Fort Bliss, and we're joint venture with Clark Construction on that project.
So it sounds like a majority of your business is in Dallas and Houston, mm-hmm. and a few other projects outside the state. Well, you're one of the larger general contractors in the area. What are some notable projects or milestones that you've worked on here in Texas that the listeners might know of?
Well, out west, it's going to be the replacement hospital for Fort Bliss. I mean, it's a very big project. It's been going on for a while. It's a beautiful building. It's rising out of the desert right now, and, you know, we're starting to get all the skin on. The project we're doing down in Corpus for Christus Spahn is a great project, and it was a challenging project because Hurricane Harvey came through there, and we thought that is where the hurricane was initially going to hit. And we have two tower cranes up that sit right across the street from the ocean. So the best picture I saw was the morning after the hurricane came through, and both of our tower cranes are still standing. And you know, it was a pretty unique experience for all the people who rode that out and helped support that client down there. Locally in Dallas, we just finished the flight training center for Southwest Airlines. We're working for Children's Hospital up in Plano. We're doing an orthopedic center for them. We were recently awarded a project for Plano ISD. It's a performing arts center, and we have a good resume here in Dallas with performing arts centers. Down in Houston, we're doing the Museum for Fine Arts, and right downtown, you can't miss us. The High School for the Performing and Visual Arts in downtown Houston, you can't miss us. And those were two areas that we really were working on trying to protect whenever the hurricane came through.
So people must know McCarthy, but they don't realize McCarthy has built some of these buildings they drive by mm-hmm. on a regular basis.
I think the building, some of the buildings people know we did, some of them they don't, but I think one of the things that they may not always recognize is how much work we do that isn't vertical construction. You know, we just finished up State Highway 71 down in Austin, which was a design-build project for TxDOT. We're working for on SH-45 in Austin, which was for CTRMA. We're doing three modernization projects for the Port of Houston. You know, with these Aframax tankers that are coming through now, they need to have bigger cranes. You need to have bigger laydown for all the sea cans. So we're doing a lot of work down there. And I think that's the piece that, even for me, and I grew up with this company, as you put, did not realize how much of that work we did and how much of that work we actually self-perform. And when we're doing that, our own craft labor is doing, you know, 80% of that work.
It's amazing how far this company has come in, what, about 150 years, mm-hmm. starting in basically a town outside of Detroit, and has grown as large as it is. Well, with your background in construction engineering, is there any one project that you like to keep your fingers in that you have fun with as a construction engineer? Because you have a lot of different areas that you work within, but any one that just excites you and you have fun with?
You know, personally, I think some of the work we do down on the Port of Houston is just exciting. I mean, all of the other work we do is a lot of fun, but it's not very often that you get to see our guys out on barges and we have cranes out on the water and we're issuing life jackets for our folks that are out there. And that's just an exciting type project. But some of our bigger vertical projects that I personally stay really involved with is the Fort Bliss project we have out in El Paso. And then the Wings project, which is the flight training center that we did for Southwest Airlines, that's really the first project we've ever done for them, and it was a really big project, and they've turned out to be an amazing client, and we're very fortunate to now have more work with them down at Hobby, and we just picked up some work out in Phoenix.
Coming back to some of what I had asked before, because you're a 150-year-old plus company, technology is probably one of the biggest aspects of your business, because that's probably changed a lot, even in the 16 years that you've been here. When I take a look at computers and what that software can do for an architect and a construction company, I'm amazed by it. So how has technology impacted this business in the time that you've been here?
Well, you know, when I first started, I think, you know, we just started getting into, you know, getting computers to everybody. Like, there's only certain people who got them for a while. And then you start seeing emails, and that's all archaic now. You start seeing today, you're not seeing people pack plans around. Everybody has their iPads. You have virtual plan rooms. You're starting to see a lot more virtual reality. You know, we have a room here in our office here where we bring clients in. And we used to, if we're going to do a hospital, like a patient room in a hospital, we would mock up the room so that the user group could come in and see where everything was at and make sure that they could touch it and make sure that they liked where, you know, how it was all put together. Now we can do that in a model. We can have them come in with virtual reality glasses, come in and walk through the same space without actually having to physically build anything. You know, ultimately, we still may do some physical mock-ups, but we can get a lot of things figured out. And, you know, the doctors and nurses can come through. They can walk through the whole space, and they're really just in our conference room. So it's pretty impressive.
Now, did you do this with the architectural firms that you work with,
mm-hmm.
hand-in-hand?
Yeah, the architects are involved, the engineers are involved, and then the users. I mean, the people who are going to get the benefit out of the service that we're providing.
Well, you've been a leader with this company for a while. Question is a little bit different than what I've been asking up to this point, but what does it take to be a great leader, especially in the construction business?
Well, I think to be a good leader in any business, it requires you to continue to try to improve. Right, and it's a life journey. It's a life, you know. There's a lot of lessons that you learn through the way. You get a lot of good feedback, and some of that feedback you don't like, but you have to accept it. You have to internalize it, and then you have to actively do things differently. And so, throughout my career, I haven't always been good at a lot of things, and maybe I'm still not good at a lot of things. But really, consistently trying to get better, and putting the number one asset we have, our people, out front. And making sure you're giving them all the tools they can get so that they can go out and be successful. So,
well, you've spent your career with McCarthy, mm-hmm. and that's a little unusual for a lot of the leaders I talk to. They've been with a number of companies, experienced different types of companies, brought all that background with them. You haven't had that opportunity. But in the time that you've been with McCarthy, especially as a leader, as a CEO, what has been your greatest challenge? In other words, what have you have to deal with that you didn't really Sure. think you're going to have to deal with as a leader of this organization?
Yeah, so a couple of things. And, you know, I have spent my whole career here, and yes, that is a little bit different. My dad worked for Bechtel for, like I said earlier, for 35 years. and he started. He got his first job in the mailroom. So he went and
from the very bottom.
From the very bottom, yeah. He went. He showed up at the gates every morning for 5 or 6 weeks at 5 a.m. with a bucket in hand with his food in it, and just trying to get a job. And ultimately got a job there. And he stayed employed from that point to 35 years later. And he went from the mailroom to being the lead superintendent on $5-6 billion project. So I mean he really grew in his career, and seeing that model, I had heard professors and people talk about you're never going to stay with the same company. Well, that's how I grew up, and this company McCarthy is really set up for people who want to spend their career here. I mean, we are 100% employee owned. I mean, so it's ours.
So you really don't have a reason to leave.
Well, no, I love this place. I love what I do. I love working here. I love the people that we work with. It's just an amazing environment, and you get to own it, which is just so different than a lot of other things. That was one of the things that I think really changed for us. We bought the company, we became 100% employee owned in 2002 when we bought the company from the McCarthy family, and our ESOP program had started before that, but it really changed how we approach things, because now it's not just that we're working for somebody, we're working for each other. And that was a really cool thing.
Then my guess with all that is your turnover has to be relatively low too.
Yeah, I think it's in par with the industry. It's to be an owner of a company also requires that investment, right? It's a personal choice that you're going to be an owner for us. And it's caring about everything. It's caring about our clients. It's caring about the outcome. It's caring about each other. And, that's not to say that nobody doesn't want to care, but there's a burden that comes with that. And so it's not for everybody, but I think the people who are here, they absolutely love being here.
But once they stay and realize it's for them, they stay. They're part owner.
Yeah. Once you drink the Kool-Aid, if you will, yeah, people stick around. It's not something that people want to leave either. We do a lot of things that we bring our families in. We get them engaged. We're really into wellness. We've just tried to create an environment where we can put people in positions kind of like what I'm in that, you never really would expect to be in, especially, your tenure in the industry. So we really value our people, and we value what they do, and we think they bring an exceptional experience to our clients because of that.
Well, you've come a long way in a short period of time. 16 mm-hmm. years is not very long. The question I want to ask, and I'll say something before I let you answer it, what's the one thing you can point to in your life or career where everything changed? Now, I would think one of the big things is when you were actually recruited mm-hmm. and asked to join McCarthy, but what's that one thing besides that you can point to that everything began to change for you as an employee or in your life?
Dallas is the 18th place I've lived, and maybe this isn't that one thing, but I think it's something that has been very impactful for me. I mean, moving around, I lived in 12 places before I came to McCarthy, and so every year you're the new kid in school, right? You're moving somewhere new, and we get to live anywhere from Alaska to Florida and Southern California to Massachusetts and everywhere in between, and so you have to learn to adapt. And I don't know if I would be in the role that I'm in or as, have the success that I've had if I wasn't able to adapt to new situations on a fairly regular basis. So as I went through that piece of my childhood, it irritated you, right? Dad would come home and say, I know we're living on a small island in Washington State and you're in high school, but we're going to move to Southern Florida for the next two. And it's like, Dad, you can't get much farther away in a small period of time.
It's almost like being in the military.
It is. But I got to also go walk around power plants when I was 5 with my dad, and how cool is that, right? So I think being able to do that, and the company has given me some very good opportunities and that I said yes to, right? And I think that was one of those other things. When given an opportunity, even though there's a sacrifice involved with it, I took advantage of it. Having just lived in Phoenix for a couple of years, starting my career, 2 years earlier, I graduated in May, got married in June, started with McCarthy in July, and then moved to Phoenix, right? So there's this whole thing of change. Bought our first house. Oh, by the way, we're moving to Albuquerque. And it was because there was an opportunity. And so I took every chance I could get, I took that opportunity to go, took advantage of feedback that you would get. not always that you liked, like I said earlier, but really tried to continue to improve on that every time I got it and every time we moved. And, you know, the latest being here to Texas and, you know, had never lived in Texas before, and never had thought I would, but I never thought I'd live in Vegas either. So always adopting the new town you're in as your home, being able to adapt to it, and I think continuing to try to continue to be a better leader would be those things.
What I read into that is that as a youngster, you moved around a lot, you had to adapt, and that carried with you as you moved to McCarthy, because even though you haven't changed companies, mm-hmm. you've changed jobs within the same company mm-hmm. and different cities. And there's an adaptation that goes along with that, along with your family, too.
Yeah, I have a great support network with my family. I got a wife and two kids, and, you know, both of my kids were born in Albuquerque. We just happened to be living there at two different times. And, you know, even coming out here, we asked them when we were coming out, hey, when do y'all want to move? Do you want to move? We were moving in September. I moved in September. Do you want to move over Thanksgiving, Christmas, spring break, or the end of the school year? And they said, we don't want to be, you know, too far away for too long. So we screwed up that entire Thanksgiving week and moved out here from Vegas. So, and I haven't looked back.
Well, you talked about, or I asked a question about people you have working here. Let's talk about recruiting and training just for a few moments. Tell me how the demographics of those drawn into the industry are shifting. I know a lot of technology has impacts that, but how is the type of people you're looking for changed?
I think, you know, one piece in particular on how that's changing or how the industry is changing. So the construction industry in general, whether it be on the manager side or on the labor side, we're having a shortage. We don't have enough people to build the things that we need to build. So that creates a challenge on where do you find the people. The other problem is, you know, there's a desire for some people who want to go to college, and there's some people who don't know why they want to go to college besides they are told that they should go to college. So we're really trying to figure out how we can make the construction industry something that people want to do again. So we're into the middle schools, we're into high schools, and really trying to get people into one of two paths, right? You know, here's where you can go through the college program, and here's where you can go through a trades program. And I'll come back to the trades program in a minute because we're doing something I think pretty unique here. But the other thing is, you know, as the industry has continued to talk about this lack of a workforce. Well, women make up about 3% of our workforce in construction, but they make up in most places that I've ever lived about 50% of the population of anywhere ever, right? So as you look at those two things, and you're only getting 3% of your workforce from the women, then why wouldn't you focus more and more attention there? And I think you're starting to see more of that. At McCarthy, we've spent a lot of time trying to focus on that. It's one of our initiatives. We recently had a women's forum here in Dallas. It was a national partnership, so we brought in women leaders from all over the country from McCarthy, really so that we could make sure that people could connect, make sure that people could understand, yes, there's a good pathway for me. We brought in some outside speakers. We had some panelists, and it's really trying to just get people more informed, and so that group can then go out and help us recruit more. I think the construction workforce of the future should start looking a lot more like the communities we serve versus the same that it's always looked like for the last 150 plus years.
So it sounds like it's an educational process in educating not only women, but many of the other millennials out there that don't realize there's an opportunity in the construction field.
Yeah, we teamed up this past summer with Texas A&M, and they have a program where they were going out to rural parts of the state and bringing high schoolers in to you know, spend a few weeks seeing if they like the construction industry. And McCarthy partnered with them. We brought some folks around. They actually all ended up here in our office before they went down and toured campus. And the unique thing that A&M did is they also had the kids bring their parents so that you could have a conversation with the parents about the industry and why it's something that's really great to be in.
This is something similar with the military does.
Mm-hmm.
Get the parents on board and they begin to support it.
Mm-hmm. And then on the craft training side, there's a lot of people trying to figure this out right now. And what McCarthy's done, and it's based here in Texas, is we've developed our own craft training and development and recruiting program. So in our office here in Dallas, we have full-time recruiters. We have trainers. We're building a facility down in Houston that will be kind of a train-the-trainer location to really create an opportunity where we can bring people in that may not have any construction experience, that may not want to do the college track, and be able to teach them something that they can use, whether they stay with us or not. I think it's going to be the best thing for us as a company, and I think it's going to be best things for the community, and I guarantee it'll be the best things for those folks that now have a skill that they may not have ever been able to get.
Well, it sounds like there's a great opportunity not only for clients to work with McCarthy, but also for potential employees. So how do our listeners get hold of you and McCarthy?
www.mccarthy.com.
Not a real difficult website to remember. Well, this has been a terrific show. Ray, thank you very much. You are definitely a playmaker. You make things happen.
I appreciate it.
It's been great having Ray on the show. Ray Sade has been our guest. Ray is the president of the Texas region for McCarthy Building Companies. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.